delighted to be here today talking to Lewis Byford from Anthony George Recruitment. We spoke to Lewis back in November about careers in financial planning. So thank you for coming back to talk to us again. It's very kind of you. Last time we talked about opportunities and how companies can support their employees. But before you can start a career in any sector, you've got to get the job, right? So that brings us to interviews. So most of us have to do interviews at some point in our lives. So today we're talking about how to prepare for interviews, some of the golden rules for how to conduct an interview. But first things first, you've got to get the interview in the first place. So, Lewis, can you tell us a little bit about how do you get your CV noticed and how do you get past the initial sifting hurdles?
Absolutely. No, good question. And so lovely to be back, you know, doing lots of work with you guys and girls over there at the LIBF. We're doing great work, which is great. So it's lovely to be back. Absolutely great question. OK, so it really starts off with your CV, you know, a CV and even a bit of a cover letter. But I'll talk about cover letters, you know, separately. This is the first time an employer is going to see you. First time you're going to be coming on their radar. So it's making sure that your CV does stand out. Now, that doesn't mean you need to do anything really fancy. You need really bright, leery colours. But the first thing they're going to look at is that top heading. Is this somebody that I want to bring into my business? So, you know, have some key points. If you're a paraplanner or you're an advisor, whatever that may be, you know, I'm a paraplanner with 10 years experience. I've got my diploma, you know, all the key buzzwords that an employer wants to see or wants that individual within their business. That's what you want to have right at the very, very top. Yes, you can go a little bit above that. You know, if you want to maybe put your photo on there as well. We even do some candidates want to actually send in a video as well to make themselves stand out. Us as an organisation, you know, we do a lot of the vetting for all of our clients. So we actually do video interviewing for every single one of our clients, which really makes candidates stand out. So we really kind of take that kind of to the next level. But the key thing, if you're sending CVs in to prospect individuals, you know, it's having your key achievements right at the top and thinking about that employer. What is the job that they're advertising? What are them key things and why you're going to be appropriate? And then address them real key things in your application. And I'd always say follow up. The art of following up is the most important thing you can do. You send an application in, find the email, do use a follow-up email. I've sent you my CV. Here's the key highlights. I look forward to hearing from you. And don't be afraid to follow up more than once, okay? It is absolutely fine. It shows that you're standing out because 99.9% of people will just do a very basic LinkedIn, you know, easy to apply. Very rarely you respond. And that's when people get disheartened that they're putting applications in and they're not being heard. So that's what I would suggest, first of all.
Amazing. That's really good advice there. So interviews, I mean, they can vary, can't they? They can be
massively
one-to-one, or they can be panels, or they can be kind of scenario-based. So what are the different things people should prepare for, and what might you face when you're having an interview?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll cover off in different sections. So first things first, most likely in this day and age, you're probably going to have a video interview. Okay, so if you're invited to an interview, the key things is dress to impress. Okay, dress as if this you're going to a face-to-face interview. We've had people turn up in baggy t-shirts, you know, they've got pots and pans sitting behind them, you know, it's just not professional. You know, first impressions count at every level of interviewing. Okay, so even if people are outside the industry and listen to this, you know, first impressions count. If you don't have a backdrop, you know, you can easily put a backdrop on most things. On Teams and Zoom, you can do a backdrop. Get on early, set yourself up, so get yourself prepared. The first interview is most likely going to be a get to know you interview. Okay, it will most likely be maybe a one-to-one. So it'd probably be you and maybe somebody else doing it, maybe one of the managers. It more, depending on the size of the firm, it'll probably be less likely to be the owner of the business. But the key things, particularly on a first meeting, is can I gel with this person? What is their background? What are they doing? And one of the key things I always say is know what's written in your CV. Okay. This is the first time they're going to be speaking with you. So if you've written something on your CV, they're probably going to ask you a question about it. Now, we've had it before with clients where they've asked questions about what's written in the CV, and the candidate has no idea what's in their CV. So look, just brush up on your own CV. Okay. That is obviously vital, but it can be forgotten about. To know what's in your CV. Then it's understanding what sort of interview it is. So when that interview is arranged, whether you go through a recruiter or you go through the firm directly, know what the interview is. You know, what is the setup? Okay, what type of interview can it be? And there are a variety of interviews, from one-to-ones, from panel interviews, from competency-based interviews, and we can talk about those, you know, a little bit later. But it's understanding what you're going into. But the first one is normally a get to know you. OK, start to understand who you are. And please make sure you've got some questions. OK, when they say they've got any questions, please do not ask about, you know, the salary. Don't ask about your holiday allowance. Don't ask about the bonus and the pension. Think about career progression. You know, when firms are hiring, they're hiring for a particular role, but also they're hiring for the longevity of that business. They want to know that you're there for the long term. So look on the company website, do your research. You know, a lot of the time a company will ask, what do you know about us? Why did you want to apply for the role? And have a genuine answer. You know, candidates that don't do that little bit of preparation are the ones that really struggle, you know, because they haven't done the golden rules, as you mentioned at the start, you know, what the golden rules, et cetera. They haven't done the basics, you know, doing the research, knowing who works there, you know, just saying, look, I appreciate you. I can see online that you're roughly a team of, you know, team of 10. You know, I know so-and-so owns the business. You work in this particular field. You know, you can start to do a little bit of information, a little bit of research, and it shows that you care and you're taking the interview seriously.
That's really helpful. So we're talking golden rules here. So the first things first is know what's on your CV.
Definitely.
Come up with some examples of things that you've done, things you're proud of that you can quickly recall. Prepare, so just do some research on the company and the job that you're applying for, making sure you understand who they are, who their clients might be, etc. Dress to impress, even if it's on video.
Absolutely.
So any other golden rules that we should be covering?
Yeah, absolutely. I think once you start to go down to the different interview types, that's when it starts to be a little bit different. So after you've done that first interview, you'll be invited back to a second, which is great. It will then probably be more of a competency based interview. Okay. So tell me about a time when you did this. Okay. What did you do in this situation? So what they're trying to find out is, with your previous experiences, have you got stuff that is going to be relatable that you can bring forward? Particularly, this is a really good way to think about your previous experiences. So again, this goes back to what I always say to clients, oh, I don't know, you put me on the spot. What I always say to individuals at that time is, look for your CV. What did you learn in that particular role? Because there may be little things that you've learned when you had a difficult conversation with somebody. It may be a colleague. It may be a manager. It may be when you had to go above and beyond, you know, at some point. And on our website, you can download how to answer a competency-based interview for free. So just log on and go straight on there if you want to. But if they're asking for you to do a competency-based interview, they're asking you to reply in a very specific way. They're asking you to reply in the STAR method. So what is the situation? What is the task? What is the action? And what is the result? So they're looking for a very specific scenario. And for you to come up with your scenarios, look through your career history and try and think about as many scenarios as you can. And the typical interview questions that they're going to ask you is, you know, tell me about a time, difficult conversations, something when you struggled, something where you improved a process, improved a procedure, particularly when you're looking at the operational side. You know, if you're looking at power planning, you'll maybe think about when you had a difficult conversation with a financial planner, when they didn't agree with your decision. Think about how you overcome that. If you're an advisor, for example, it may be a difficult conversation with a client. would be a good one. Or maybe when you generated new business, how did you generate new business? How did you go about doing that? How did you build relationships? How did you build rapport? You know, talk about little things that you probably don't even think about that you do naturally. But this is the time where you need to really reinforce that at that interview stage. And yes, it's knowing what the interview is you're walking into, so you can then prepare accordingly for that interview effectively.
That's really helpful. And I think for sure, coming up with what was the outcome, what was the effect or the impact of your contribution is really important to stress, because that's really what people care about, are outcomes and results, isn't it? So one of the other things that I've experienced in the past, and I'm sure this comes up, is having to do a presentation.
Yeah.
So they give you a scenario or a case study or a task, and you have to do a presentation. How should people approach that? And any top tips for presentations?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Don't overcomplicate it. Okay. I've seen presentations that have got War and Peace written forever and a day. Okay. Really don't overcomplicate it. You know, they're not addressing your creative skills in this particular event. Okay. Unless you're going for a creative marketing section, they probably are. But if we talk about financial services, financial planning, or, you know, for example, if I'm doing a trainee financial advisor role, sometimes they'll ask you to do a presentation on building rapport. Okay. It's coming up with some little top tips of that. You know, do a little bit of research on how to gain rapport. So, for example, let's do a trainee advisor role. So you've got a role play, and the role play may be, or the presentation may be, you know, the scenario is a client hasn't heard from us in the last 5 years. Their portfolio started at 30,000 and it's now at 60,000. You are the new trainee advisor. You're now going to introduce the business and get them booked in for a meeting with their new financial advisor. Okay. How would you go into that scenario? Okay. So first of all, look at how you would potentially go into that. You know, first things first, in this situation, I'd always say, find out as much information about that client as possible. Okay. Understand their background. Are there any meeting notes? Are there any soft facts that you can do some research on the CRM system to start to build that rapport very, very quickly? So when you start doing that introduction in your presentation, it may be, when I start making that introduction, I would have done my research. Appreciate we haven't been in contact in some time, but we'd like to say, due to the size of your portfolio now, it's now got to a point where you can now look at having an opportunity of getting a meeting with an advisor. We'd like to give you a free review. You've got XYZ in here. We've got some availability. We can come and see you face to face if that's preferred. You start to think about how you would address that. And it's just taking that time to think about what is going to be the best interest for the client and how you're going to do it. So I think it's just making sure that you're prepared, you know what you're going to say, but don't overcomplicate it, you know?
So what other kinds of assessments might people face when they're going for their next job?
Yeah, great question. So particularly in our world, in the financial planning world that we operate in, normally clients want to understand their technical ability. Okay, so with a technical ability, they're normally looking where their knowledge level is. As you can imagine, within the financial planning industry, lots of firms operate very, very differently. Whether they are restricted, whether they're independent, their knowledge is very, very different depending on what their day-to-day duties are. Same with mortgage firms. If you're a restricted mortgage advisor, you may not get the full exposure to the whole of market research. So it's understanding that ability. So what we tend to find is, if someone's been successful on that first meeting and they've got quite the good vibe, both individuals like each other, client and candidate, they might do a technical test. So they might do something like a level 4 multiple choice technical test, which is normally done at home, but it is normally done timed. And it's normally, so we have one that we do for our clients, and it is 30 minutes, and you've basically got 30 questions. So it's roughly a minute a question. It's all timed. So I know that when someone goes live on that link, they need to be completing it within 30 minutes. So they haven't got a chance, obviously, to go out book. And we're trying to understand the level of knowledge. So this particular one obviously covers, you know, pensions, investments, IHT. It covers, you know, protection as well. So we can understand what level that they're currently sitting at. Now, that's not necessarily a pass or a fail, okay? But it understands at what base level that they're currently sitting at. So if someone is working at a firm where they are doing lots of investments, lots of pension business, okay, but they've never done any IHT business, no DGTs, nothing on that sort of space, then they will most likely score quite low in them sort of areas. But that gives the information to the employer about what that development program looks like when they join. So it's never really a pass and a fail, but it understands at the next stage some questions for one, the employer to ask you. So I can understand you're very competent in these particular areas. Tell me about this area that you're not so competent in. Is that because you've not got an understanding of it? Maybe we need to do more exam knowledge, or you've not had exposure to it. So that's one thing to think about, is that knowledge. And again, if you're going to that exam, going to that sort of test, you're obviously going to be told about that. Take some time to prepare. Read back through your material, you know, read back through your diploma material. Have a little bit of a skim read. Get updated on your tax calculations. So you just make sure that you can do a little bit of preparation. So that's one thing we're looking at, that technical side. The next bit, but if we'll be looking, I always say we also do a financial plan. So particularly if you're a power planner, obviously writing reports is obviously quite a large part of your day-to-day work. And we've got a full financial plan that we ask individuals to complete. And that we're looking at your ability on how you write reports, how you articulate the problems that or the concerns that the client has addressed in the fact find, and how you're going to obviously respond to that. And that is really good for a client to understand how you articulate that information. Okay, what is your writing style? What does that look like? And again, there's no real pass or fail on this, but it's understanding what knowledge that they've got. And particularly with that test that we see, the most successful people are the ones that take everything on the fact find and write it in plain, simple English that people can understand. And what I mean by plain, simple English is that, you know, you're not overcomplicating it. You know, this is the outcome. This is the solution. Because you've got to remember, in financial planning, it is very, very confusing for a lot of clients. And your job is to write it in a way that people can actually understand, because you're making some real, real life changing decisions with their money. And just because they've got money doesn't necessarily mean they're really educated on money. So we need to do in our industry the best that we can to make it as simple English that we can deal with. You know, what do they say? I can't remember, Heather. They say something like, is it right as if you're talking to a 9-year-old or something, isn't it? They something along that line. Our brains want something really easy to understand so we can follow, you know. So yeah, it's people that are successfully in that sort of way. But again, it just goes back to, what is the outcome of that? What do they want? And if you're unsure, question the employer. I want to make sure I do this right. What are you looking for? What are the key outcomes you're looking for here? If you're unsure, speak to your recruiter. Okay. The recruiter should know what is going on. You know, with our clients, you know, understand we are very, very different. You know, we operate directly in-house with all of our clients. So we have very much a very embedded solution. So we know exactly what our clients want. So we can really help candidates through that process. But if you don't know, ask the question. If you're not getting the response, go up a chain and ask the employer.
I think also it's quite tempting, isn't it, in a kind of job interview scenario to try and show off or maybe exaggerate slightly on what you know. But what you're saying is that's not the right way to do it. And obviously you need to be very clear about what skills you have and what skills you may need to develop. And that employers welcome that clarity and that transparency. And also the thing about talking jargon. Yeah, I always say, you know, how would you explain this to your mate in the pub, or to your grandma, or, you know, explaining things in a way that people can understand means that you're not bamboozling them or trying to confuse the issue. So some really good advice there. Now I know we talked about, you know, there's a temptation to try and show off or exaggerate in interviews. But what about nerves? So we published a study recently talking about exam nerves, but actually it's any kind of anxiety in those big stressful situations such as job interviews. How can we deal with nerves in the run-up to an interview and make sure we get the best out of ourselves in those situations?
Absolutely, totally agree. it can be so nerve-wracking, honestly. And for me, a lot of people say, oh my God, Luce, you have so much confidence. You've got so much. But also, I've been able to deal with my level of nerves at the same time, you know. And I always have a little bit of top tips on preparing for that. And one thing for me is breathing, okay? Now, not normal breathing, okay? I'm not, because you need to breathe to live, but it's all about proper, really good breathing techniques that actually calm the body. So I'm very much into my yoga, my meditation. I do yoga 5 times a week. And it's all about, you know, having that sense of calm to really relax the body. I've been doing a little bit more public speaking recently and having a bit of training from a public speaker. And he taught me a few breathing techniques to do as well. One of the techniques I do is the count of four. Okay. So you breathe in for four through your nose. You hold for four. You then breathe out for four and you hold for four. So imagine you're creating a little bit of a box with your breathing. They call it box breathing. And four may not be good for you. Maybe push it to five, maybe push it to six or seven. You start to build that up and you want to feel your lungs expand. You want to feel your diaphragm expand and that will naturally calm the body. Simple things like that, just as you're going to walk into an interview, 5 minutes before you're going to go on, take that 3 to 5 minutes and do that breathing exercise. At the start, it will be very, very tough because some people don't breathe like that. You know, I can really start to build my breathing up to really build my calming. That is super comfort. You know, is a real good way to get in the right mindset. The second thing is just making sure you've done your preparation. You know, if you turn up to any meeting, whether it's an interview, a client meeting, anything at all, if you don't feel prepared, you're not going to feel confident. Okay. So always make sure you've done your preparation. Know you've got the stuff about the company. When you start an interview, they'll always ask you how you are. And a lot of people will go, yeah, I'm fine. How are you? But what I find is a really good technique to do is to genuinely reply how you feel, to make even show a little bit of vulnerability on that meeting will make the other employer feel at ease. Because I can tell you, right, I work with a lot of clients up and down the country, a lot of clients, okay, at all different size of firms. And I can tell you, every one of our clients gets nervous doing an interview. So when they're sitting in front of you, they're as nervous as you are with them. So what I find is a really great technique is, how are you? You can say, oh, got a little bit nervous. I thought it was going to be late. You know, show a little bit of your personality. And then I go, oh my God, we were the same. It just takes that bravado of, I'm this perfect person, I'm going to do it, away from the situation. Okay, bring that level of nerves down. And I actually did that. I had a talk a week or so ago, and public speaking on my own, PowerPoint, going up on stage. As I went on live, I got instantly nervous. I'd done all my preparation. I got up and got the mic. I went, I've ever so calm, so nervous, everybody. I'm so sorry. I feel really, I'm really uneasy. And everyone was like, it was like a sense of, We understand you, you know, so it's absolutely fine to do. And you can do that. And it just creates that level of vulnerability, but also that the humanization of it.
Absolutely true. And I think being yourself in any scenario is be as authentic as you can, because what people are also looking for is the personality. Will you fit with the team? So showing your personality, I think, is also really important, and trying to be bring your real self, as they say, to work. There's some really good tips there, and perhaps we'll do a summary of them at the end. But finally, before we get to that kind of golden rules roundup, you're not always going to get the job. So you might apply for roles and not be successful. What's the best way to cope with feeling or being rejected?
I always say in this sort of situation, you know, we are very honest as a business. You know, we get real honest feedback from our clients about how the interviewees do. And we always share that. And we always say to candidates that we will tell you the good, the bad and the ugly, even if it's hard for us to articulate if they've particularly done something bad at interview. But in our eyes, we need to be the person that tells them. And some people don't like that. But for us, you will never improve at interviews if you say you did a fantastic job every single time. Okay. So asking for true, authentic feedback, I say is number one. And I always say, never, ever take it to heart. You know, it could be one tiny thing. It could be one exam that the other person's got, one more year of experience, or someone that's just maybe come across a little bit more natural that they've bonded with a little bit differently, you know, because doing an interviewing and going through that process, it's not all about facts and figures, you know, like you've just alluded to there, Heather, you know, it's about how they're fitting in with the team. It's sometimes it's so small over other people that's what secures it. I feel like I can get on with that person a little bit more. Or one of the hardest things, I've got that gut feeling that they're going to do well, you know. So don't feel like you're taking it to heart. Don't feel like it's in a personal attack, even though it can sometimes feel like that. And I understand that, you know, we've all been in that position, but always end of it in a positive way. I really appreciate the feedback. I'm going to take that feedback on board and improve next time. Hopefully there'll be an opportunity in the future, because particularly in our industry, it's a very, very small world, you know, and if you're not good for the role now, but you've had a good positive impact on that individual and you've left it in a positive way, you never know, 5-10 years time, it may come round and you may be the absolute perfect fit. So, you know, never take it to heart, but also ask for true, genuine feedback and ask for that, you know, specifically ask for that and reflect, you know, reflect on how you thought it went. You know, one of the things that I do is what I do with my team, and we do it every Friday, and we call it the W3. Okay. We say, what went well? What didn't go well? And what's the one thing I'm going to change next time? So it's thinking about what went well in that interview, or what did I say? And they interacted in a positive way. You know, their facial expression changed, or their body language changed. What didn't go so well? What do you think you could have improved on? And then what's the one thing you're going to change moving forward, you know, in the next time? What maybe a question threw you off, you know, and you thought, oh, gosh, I've been thrown off by that question, you know. What can you do next time that will improve that? And always stay positive, okay? You know, stay positive, keep engaging, keep networking, and keep applying. You know, speak to more people, you know, ask questions, you know, do some research, keep following up, using that same pattern all the time, engaging, networking. You know, LinkedIn is a fantastic tool that's out there where you can engage directly with the owners of these businesses that you want to work for. Make a good impression. You know, go above and beyond if you wanted to, and message them and stuff like, you know, really make a real significant difference. Because, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, if you could be positive, you know, you can improve, then hopefully you'll get the job in the future.
That's fantastic advice. And yeah, very often it's not personal. It's just you're not quite right at that time for the role that they're recruiting for. So taking that rejection or that experience as a learning experience, and what you can do to improve is a really important point. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at interviews, right? So it's all positive.
100%. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Perfect. So hopefully some little top tips there that people can, you know, can take away. And if they're going to interviews, you know, January is a very, very busy time for interviews. A lot of people want new year, new change. So take some on board. On our website, we've got loads of top tips, CV tips, interview tips, preparing for a video interview so you can get prepared to what I talk about there. It's all free. You haven't got to sign up. You can just download it and read it. Okay. So maybe we'll put a link to that after the conversation.
Thank you so much, Lewis. The one thing you want everyone to take away from this conversation, what would you say the one key golden rule is that you want people to take away?
Confidence is key. Okay, is what I always, always say. It's how I've got through life, Heather, if I'm honest. You know, confidence is key, you know, and just be you. Be your true, authentic self. You know, people buy from people. People want to work with people that they like. People want to work with people that they enjoy. And just have that level of confidence. If you're feeling a little bit nervous, say you're feeling nervous. You're being who you really are, you know. And it's taken me a long time, even me, to be my authentic self. And, you know, but when you are, you know, real change is when it really happens, and I hope that everyone can find that journey, you know, as and when they're ready to do that.
That's so helpful. It's a really good thing to remember, and preparation helps you be confident. So the more you prepare, the more confident you'll feel, the more you can bring your real self to any situation. So thank you so much, Lewis, for joining us. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
And we'll put the links to your website and resources and tools at the bottom of the podcast. Thank you once again, and speak to you soon.